This morning, I wish to share a word with you, and it's based out of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And there's a specific part in this portion of Scripture. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 6. I just wanted to comment that I want to talk to you on the Jesus way versus the North American way. The Jesus way as opposed to the North American way. You know, I was reading a little bit this morning out of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Don't need to turn there because I'm not going to read it, but it's the story of it was Samuel grew old. He appointed his sons as judges, and they didn't perform the ministry very well. And Israel went to Samuel and says, "Look, you're getting old. Your sons don't represent you well. They are not like you. Why don't you give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have?" And I contemplated that line, "like all the other nations have." Sometimes we look around us and we want to be like somebody else. Our media, they have set up heroes, if you will, that they want us to be like them. Sometimes we'll look around at other churches and maybe they are having a very fast growth spurt, and we want to find out what it is that they are doing and we want to do that. We sometimes, because of our own likes and dislikes, we are prone to look on the other side of the fence. I always say we all have gardens. We have individual gardens, and the moment that we look into somebody else's garden, we see what they have and we envy what they have. And maybe a little jealous of what they have. And we just want to have and do that same kind of program that somebody else has. We live in a day. What's interesting is we live in a day that is not like the days of the past. There are some churches that are very fast-growing churches. We think because of the way they do things that they're watering down the gospel a little bit. And they become, some call them seeker-sensitive. Now, I'm not preaching against seeker-sensitive churches, nor am I teaching against those churches that are necessarily attractional, because I get what they're trying to do. And some of the ministers have a wonderful heart and a heart after God. We were talking, actually, a pastor, we were chatting with pastors, and one of the fellows said that he was talking to a particular Baptist pastor who was seeing a lot of growth in his assembly, a lot of growth. And he said, "Ron," he said, "we need to do what they're doing." And I said, and why would we do that? It's not in our DNA. It's not a part of us, not a part of our ministries. But this particular pastor that was pastoring this particular fast-growing church said, we are in a situation where, he said, we get used to catering to what people want. We get used to providing a lot of things so that people will want to come to us. He said, we get on a fast track, and he says, to be honest with you, this is a pastor. He says, I do not know anymore if I'm really doing the work of God or something that's come from the flesh, a desire just to have more. And I went, wow. Wow. Some of you have heard the term church revitalization. Every organization now wants to get into a revitalization program, something that will cause the church to grow. A number of weeks ago, we started and we said in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. That takes the onus off of me for me to perform and make something happen. Okay. Not that there are not good things that we can do, but I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' way versus the North American way. The North American Christianity, and I'm using North American Christianity because when you look at the statistics, church statistics, a lot of them come out of the States, although we are gathering a lot out of Canada as well. And they're all talking about a consumer-driven church based on what we like. And I want to talk a little bit about this, but out of John 14, verse 1, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. In the midst of all this stuff and growth, people can sit in a congregation and have a troubled heart. I'm not just talking about a physical heart. I'm talking about a troubled spiritual heart. Some of the problems that we actually have are because we have an insecure relationship with God. We know that Jesus died on the cross. We know that He was dead 3 days, and then the third day He arose, according to the Scripture. We know that. But having a close-knit relationship with God. In fact, if you talk to people about, or if you ask them, are you hearing from God? Well, no, I've never heard from God. It's almost like that it's a foreign concept. Yet Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Somehow, we have to come to the place where we are, that we can hear God. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. And then He says, trust also in me. There is enough room. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way. Interesting word. And you know the way. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, do you know the way? What a great question. Do you know the way? Jesus said, you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Thomas talking. I'm going, what's wrong with that, Thomas, anyway? Oh, you would never think that about Thomas. I'm just thinking like that. I mean, this Thomas guy, he we call him a doubter, but there were other doubters amongst the disciples. In fact, they weren't even sure that Jesus would, you know, that His word would even come to pass. They weren't sure. They didn't know Him. You see, they'd heard His words, been with Him for almost 3 years. And yet Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. And what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That puts us all, every one of us, inside and outside these walls, puts us all on the same plane, all on the same level. We're all sinners. The difference is that we've accepted the sacrifice of Jesus and accepted Him as personal Lord and Savior. Okay. There are people out there, they don't realize that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. They just don't realize that yet. They haven't come to realize that Jesus died for them. Okay. Whosoever will may come. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Jesus way is the pathway to Jesus' truth, which brings about Jesus' life. We can't proclaim the Jesus truth, but then try to do it any old way we like. Nor can we follow Jesus' way without speaking Jesus' truth. But Jesus, as the truth, gets far more attention than the Jesus as the way. Jesus as the way is the most frequently used metaphor among Christians that I've worked with for the last almost 40 years. In the text that Jesus sets before us, so clearly, the way comes first. Ever thought about it? The way comes first. We cannot skip the way of Jesus in a hurry to get to the truth as He is worshipped and proclaimed. The way of Jesus is the way that we practice and come to understand the truth of Jesus. Living Jesus. Living Him in our homes, in our workplaces, with our friends, with our families. A Christian congregation is a place in a neighborhood. It's always been a primary location for getting this way, truth, and life of Jesus. We can take Him in the community, amongst people, day in and day out. There's more to church than doing a service in a local congregation. The church has been continuous throughout centuries. Our fathers and our mothers who obviously influenced us to teach us, is a part of a church that spread throughout the world. Communities that we are in touch with through prayer and suffering and missions. There is an invisible church. It functions differently. It functions in a different dimension than the flesh one we see. It is the one dimension that God works in first, and that is the realm of the Spirit of God. A dimension that we may not know a whole lot about, but is very real. It is one dimension that God works in first. This church is, well, there is a part of the church that's a great cloud of witnesses. They surround us according to Hebrews chapter 12 and 1. But the local congregation is the place where we get all this integrated and practiced teachings of Jesus in the immediate, to live in the immediate circumstances among people, whether that's men, women, and children. It's a place where Jesus' life is not something that we come to hear about. It's something that we live out. It's a place, the local congregation is a place and community for listening and obeying Christ's commands, for inviting people to consider and respond to Jesus' invitation where He says, follow Me, where we worship God. It is a place where we are baptized into an identity that is not naturally our own, where we go on to maturity according to Ephesians chapter 4:13, to the measure of the full stature of Christ, where we can be taught the Scriptures and learn to discern the ways that we can follow in Jesus in the way. The local congregation is like a school. If I can say it like this, it's a school ground. It's the primary place for dealing with particular with the particulars of getting along with people. It was and is a place that ought to be sustained by the Holy Spirit. It is local and it's personal. But unfortunately, there is a North American strategy that may not be, what should I say, bring into the local or the personal level that we need to catch the Jesus way. The North American way has its affections on catchy slogans, stirring visions, flashy programs, ways of dealing with people that sometimes erode the personal, replacing the intimate functions of the church. The North American church at present, unknowingly, may be replacing the Jesus way with its own North American way. There are people in all of this, Christians who are serious about following Jesus with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their might. We're all growing together just as the parable of the wheat and tares. We're all growing together. Jesus followers is a company of praying men and women who gather usually on Sundays for worship, but then who go into the world as salt and light. God's Holy Spirit calls and forms and works. God means to do something with us and through us. He means to do it in the community. We are in on what God is doing. And we are in it together. Praise God. We become knowing about God, experiencing God because we are hearing His voice to what God intends to do with us and for us and through us. We have the very presence of God. Interesting, the operating biblical metaphor regarding worship is sacrifice. We bring ourselves to the altar and we let God do with us as He wills. We bring ourselves to the communion table as an example. And that communion service is that which helps shape us. There's taking, there's blessing, there's breaking, there's giving. Just like the life of Jesus. Taken, blessed, broken, and distributed. We must sacrifice. We must humble ourselves before Almighty God. The covenant life shapes our lives as we give ourselves to Christ in all we do, who was taken, blessed, broken, and distributed to the lives and witnesses of those in the community. But that may not be the North American way. The great new innovation in a congregation's life is to turn it into a consumer enterprise. We have developed a culture of acquisition, economy, that is dependent on wanting more, requiring more. We have a huge advertising industry designed to stir us in our appetites we didn't even know we had. We are not satisfied anymore with just Jesus. We want more entertainment. Now, I'm not preaching against entertainment. Throughout the years, have known pastors that bring in guests who will entertain the congregation. That's their job and that's their ministry. And I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying when we come to the place where we are replacing, you see, It didn't take very long for our Christian brothers and sisters to develop consumer congregations. Given the conditions that are prevailing in our culture, it seems that this consumer way is the best and more effective way that has ever been devised for gathering large and prosperous congregations. The North American church really lead the world in showing them how to do it. There's only one thing wrong. This is not the way in which God brings us into conformity with the life of Jesus and sets us on the way to receive Jesus' salvation. This is not the way in which, listen to this, we become less and Jesus becomes more. This is not the way in which we sacrifice lives, become available to others in injustice and service. It's really hard to gather a God-fearing, God-worshiping congregation by cultivating a consumer-pleasing, commodity-oriented congregation. When we do, the wheels start falling off the wagon and we're falling off. We can't really suppress the Jesus way in order to sell the Jesus truth. The Jesus way and the Jesus truth must be our goal. Okay. I want the life of Jesus. And I think you want the life of Jesus too. How do we know what category we're in? How do we know what category we're in? Have you ever heard somebody say, I feel like my needs aren't being met. The church didn't do anything. In fact, the church didn't do everything that I wanted them to do. The church didn't do it the way I thought was best. Have you ever thought the church didn't nurture you enough, or they thought that they didn't guide you enough, or the church didn't affirm you enough? Basically, the church didn't give you, whether it be enough money, resources, guidance, encouragement, nothing that I was asking for. Sometimes it's we think that we're entitled to something more. I'm not talking about something that's particularly new to you, because I was a consumer Christian too. And now I've learned to be a contributing Christian. What is the difference between the American mindset and the Jesus way mindset? Well, the consumer Christian comes to be served. A contributing Christian comes to serve. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, he said, he did not come expecting to be served by anyone, but to serve everyone. Jesus' mentality was, I did not come to be served. I came to serve you. That's awesome. And somehow we think that the church ought to serve us. But that's not the Jesus way. A consumer Christian feels entitled. A contributing Christian is grateful for what God has done. A contributing Christian is overwhelmed and in awe and deeply grateful for any love and forgiveness and grace and hospitality, because they understand that it cannot be earned. A consumer Christian asks, what do you think you're doing? A contributing Christian asks, what do you think you will need so that I can help you? A contributing Christian is often the person who asks what the leaders need in order to accomplish whatever the goal is. They have a deep trust that God is doing something through people. A contributing consumer Christian points fingers when there are problems. A contributing Christian asks how they may contribute to solve the problem. A consumer Christian looks outside themselves to identify the source of the problem. The problem is the way those people act, the way those people worship, the way those people vote, the way those people are doing things. A contributing Christian looks within themselves to identify a different source of a problem. A contributing Christian is great at, should I say it like this? Maybe I will. A shame-free self-reflection. In other words, they don't beat themselves up for their mistakes, but they do own their mistakes and learn from them. A consumer Christian focuses on their preferences. A contributing Christian focuses on the needs of others. A consumer Christian focuses on what they will gain from following Jesus. A contributing Christian counts the cost of following Jesus. A consumer Christian has trouble finding a church family. A contributing Christian joins a family and begins inviting new members into the family. Somebody says, if you want to find the perfect church, show up just in time for worship on Sunday and leave immediately after the service. Don't get involved and don't get to know anybody. Consumer Christians miss out on true community because they are searching for a perfect church. You're not looking for the music that suits you. You're not looking for the preacher that is able to, maybe he's like a Louis Gigolo. You know, the church doesn't have enough people your age. The church doesn't have enough older people who will invite you to meals and mentor you. The church is too small. The church is too big. You know how it goes. The list goes on. When we read Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God. Give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Wow. Can we say that phrase? Special function. Wow, that's awesome. Each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We have many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I don't play guitar very well. In fact, my mom, she used to sit down with young people and she'd put her guitar on her lap and she'd get a bar out and she would pluck that guitar and move the bar just like you would on some like a Hawaiian guitar. And you'd see all the young people, and they were sitting there with her, and they were watching her. So when she went down, they went down. Yeah, when they went, she went up, they went up. My mom had a way with young people and music. Now, not everybody has that same particular gift of working with people. So when I pick up a little ukulele or a guitar, I'm trying to use bar chords with my one finger. And if the guitar's not tuned just right, she doesn't sound good. There are things that I can do well, and there are things that I don't do well. But there are things that each one of you do that you can do well because it's your gifting. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. In this grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, whew, that's something we all can do. Glory to God. I heard about one folks, they were going to, I think it was Burger King, and there was quite a long line, and the car that was behind them, they were going through the line, they made their order, and then they went up to the window to make their payment, and they said, oh, by the way, that car that's behind us, I want to pay their bill. Just give them this little card, and it's all it says is, God loves you, and then it gives a telephone number. That's all they left them. Well, little did they know, but the car behind them was a single mom with a young lad, and they were going to get their meal. And she comes up to the window, and your meal's already been paid for. Huh? How did that happen? Well, that car that was ahead of you paid it. Something so simple, a little act of kindness went a long way. You know that that young lady ended up phoning those people and say, why in the world would you pay my meal? And they said, well, God loves you. And we wanted you to know that God loves you. So we paid your bill. Well, why would you do that? Well, because God loves you, we love you too, and we just wanted to bless you. That young lady ended up giving her life to Christ through such a small act of kindness. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we're listening to the voice of God, we hear things that we're to do that helps somebody else. When we are listening, we find the Jesus way. And in the process, we learn truth. We participate in truth. And we come to find out it's such a blessing. In fact, Jesus said it like this. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There are some people that have a real hard time receiving. See? But there is a way that seems right unto a man. But there are some that don't know how to walk in the way of Jesus. For he is the way. He leads us. The Bible says he leads us in paths of righteousness. Not for our sake. For his name's sake. I challenge you today. Seek out the way of Jesus. People, there will always be people that will offend. There will always be people that will try and abuse. I know that for years, my wife has worked at the Salvation Army, and they have helped so many people. I've watched people come and go, and I've ate and sat down to eat with some of the clients there. It's, by the way, a ministry that has several churches that they provide meals once a week right now. And I watch those people come and go. And you're not trying to force feed them Jesus. But you love them. Praise God. We don't have to necessarily preach. Somebody says, well, I don't know. I've never been to Bible school. No, but if you have a listening ear, then you know the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus will help you discover the truth and lead you into a life that will bring blessing. Not just for that person, but for you as well. That's one of the reasons the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. You see? Well, Father, we are so mindful of your goodness. Thank you for the Jesus way. We don't want to be trapped into a consumer mentality, into a me-ism mindset. We ask, Lord, that you would deliver us, set us free from those notations of self, where self needs to be puffed up. But we want to exalt you, because you are the way. We want to focus on your way. Teach us your way. Instruct us in your way. Help us to understand your way, that we will walk in it and we will bless it. We will be a blessing. Like you said to Abraham, we will be a blessing in order that we might be a blessing. I ask, Father, that you would instill within us that which we can give out. Praise you, Lord. We recognize we can do a lot of things. But your word declares, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. We recognize that we can do all kinds of things in the flesh. But in this congregation, we ask, Lord, that you would give us the mind of your Spirit. For we realize that unless it's breathed by your Spirit, it's just going to become fruitless. But in all we do, we want to acknowledge you so you can direct our path. In all that we do, we need the direction of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God. Go with us in the name of Jesus. Amen.